Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
I'm about to commit a direct violation of our orders. Any of you who wish to object should do so now. It will be noted in my log.
So, Mark, I woke up this morning, and I got out of bed, and I thought everything was fine, but I kind of had this, like, little feeling inside of my stomach.
What? Kind of feeling.
Are you okay?
What's
wrong, Mark?
No, nothing. I feel fine. I feel fine.
Are you sure you do?
Do not take me to the hospital. Don't let them do anything to me.
You're bleeding.
Who are you? Where are you at our table? Who are you?
But, who are you?
I'm Bess.
Bess?
Okay. Bess, okay.
Okay.
And you just picked me up from the road, didn't you?
We did.
Were you tracking it or something?
Yeah, I was coughing on the road and almost about to die, and you picked me up. Thank you so much.
That's right. Yeah. And now now Mark is displaying some...
Are you okay?
Right. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're okay?
Why does my nose feel flat?
Your nose looks like it's sort of like...
My nose is flat.
It looks like a ho-ho.
Yeah,
or ding dong, I guess.
Yeah,
no, what's going on?
But
it's like looks like it's got like somebody
like a
hammered
swooshing
on it
in or something. I know.
That's kind of funny. What's going on?
Nothing.
You've been kind of saying these things in the car as well.
There's nothing. I'm perfect.
So. Do you feel like rolling around in the dirt?
Yes.
That sounds actually really bad.
Right there.
Anyway, this is Wes.
This is the world famous Mark Bernay.
And this is Bess Zane.
And
you're a guest to the show today.
He's a guest to the show. And for you all out there in the audience, you're listening to what's called slurpcast.com. This is a weekly podcast that Mark and I put together to talk about the goings on in the tech world.
And we do it in a restaurant while we're eating and we slurp our food. That's why it's called Slurpcast.
Mark and I enjoy technology, and we oftentimes like to compare new technology with old technology because the foundations for what's popular nowadays oftentimes started way back in the past, and we kind of like to do the research to find that out.
Right. And go to slurpcast.com for a blog entry behind each show that gives the details and the URLs we talk about and any corrections, things like that.
So we're eating today at Bo's Barbecue in Walnut Creek.
No, Laugh-A-Lot.
Oh, Laugh-A-Lot, that's right. It's kind of on the border of Walnut Creek and Laugh-A-Lot.
Okay. We've always called it Laugh-A-Lot before, I think that's right.
For all of those other people, it's Lafayette.
Yeah, right.
Lafayette.
As in the pirate, because we have lots of pirate stories in the news nowadays.
Yes, we do.
We don't really have any official pirate stories, but I just want to comment that someone I know who worked in the shipping industry all his life...
Yeah.
Claims that absolutely nothing whatsoever has changed lately about piracy.
Uh-huh.
It's just the news has picked up on it. But there's always been exactly the same amount of piracy going around in the world for the last 100 years as there is today. And just the press has discovered it is the only thing interesting.
Okay. Hold on a second. I got to go shake a baby.
Okay. Is it dead yet?
Stop moving. What's going on? It stopped moving.
If you ever want to know whether a baby is
Mark,
dead...
Mark, it stopped moving.
If you ever want to know whether a baby is dead,
yeah.
Look at the eyes. Do you see X's over the eyes?
Oh, no, look at, is that what it is?
Yeah, because that's how you know it died.
That's definitely happening over here.
I thought it was laughing or something. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about this iPhone application that the ridiculous Apple pulled from the store. Just because you're killing babies. It's okay to kill everything else on... You can have war games on the iPhone where you kill soldiers and you kill thousands of other people, but just kill one little baby, all of a sudden it can't be in the App Store. You know?
Well, it's morally, like, you know, it's a lot of the tree huggers out there would disapprove of that whole thing.
But they have war, but you can have war games where babies are killed in wars a lot more than by shaking.
Or hunting games.
And that seems okay. Yeah,
well,
you can have hunting games killing animals.
The point is that people are profiting off of this sort of this thing that happens naturally, and it's a very sad thing. But they've created an application that you can download, and I think there was a charge to it.
Yeah,
I know.
Probably.
And so just the whole idea, even though the idea is like uncomfortable, you're absolutely right. This sort of thing.
No, but why is it okay to have war, to have games with soldiers and stuff? when the soldiers...
Two-way combo?
This is mine right here.
Brisket.
Got the brisket.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you guys don't have the spicy barbecue sauce?
No, we don't have it. Sorry.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, no, my point, though, is that they do have war games of other kinds. And in real wars, a lot more babies get killed than ever have ever been killed by shaking.
Right, and I agree.
In the civilian world, so why is that okay?
No. I don't know. I think some people might say that our culture, the American culture, is like... like has a false view on reality because we're all like out for our own personal interests,
right?
Whereas you might say like in Japan, they're much more community based.
Okay.
So the culture out there is very much around making the group of people successful in whatever it is that they're doing,
right?
Including taking the blame for things. Like if one person in the group makes a mistake, the community will actually step forward and say, "Oh, it's our fault."
Right.
You know, they're part of our group. Whereas here in America, it's very different. If one person makes a mistake, everybody in the community points their finger to that person and says, it's your fault.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So, anyway. Mark and I oftentimes like to talk about vintage technology, and I collect stories on throughout the week on vintage technology. This is the section of the show called The Daily History Quote. I got a bunch of them. I'm not sure if you guys are interested. Okay. I didn't talk about this last time. The term computer commonly refers to a multi-purpose, solid-state machine. Up through the 1940s, the term computer referred to a job description to describe the array of activities performed by people in calculating numerical answers by the use of tables and primitive calculators.
Right.
Is this true?
Yes. I mean, I've read that.
See, a computer, that would be a person who just simply did math.
Like a person who, a comptometer operator might be called a computer or something, although I think they were normally called comptometer operators. But
so what
ahead, go.
What was a programmer back then?
Punch card machines, maybe. Punch card machines, they're designing systems.
Okay.
Not really like that exactly, but designing a paper flow system and... Who should, you know, what workstation should get the analysis of what they should do with it and pass it on to someone else or whatever. Maybe, I guess.
But did they have programmers back then?
Not by that title.
Not
no.
by that title.
No, really. But.
Punch card developers or users or?
Yeah, the plug boards. Yeah, the big plug board programming stuff that we talked about in a previous show, but I guess I'll put in a picture of it or whatever. My father used to be good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they called them programmers. I forget what they called them, but it was a primitive kind of programming language in the wiring of the board.
Huh. He's a punch card developer.
Yeah.
You know, it does make sense regarding the computer word, because I guess back then it was a literal meaning,
mm-hmm.
to compute.
Yeah, the person who computes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now it's become a
machine that computes.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Commodore files for liquidation in April of 1994, concluding a long, rich history that begins when Holocaust survivor Jack Tramiel starts a typewriter repair business in New York in 1954. By 1962, Commodore is selling adding machines and later electronic calculators. During the 1980s, Commodore produces several well-received PCs, including the VIC-20, Commodore 64, and the Commodore PC.
Well, we talked about those before, but I do have a Commodore 64 story.
Yeah?
Remember, last week, or 2 weeks ago or something, we had that notebook where someone...
The laptop.
Yeah, someone made a recreation of a modern-day laptop, except looking like a Commodore 64 would have looked if Commodore made it back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a story this week about someone made a purse where you just carry around things in the purse, but there's a Commodore, but the purse has a very Commodore 64-ish look to it, and there's a screen there showing.
Really?
Games or something. Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
So,
I remember my first experience with a computer was the Commodore PET.
Okay.
That was the all-in-one. It had the keyboard and the monitor built in. It was monochrome.
Right.
And that was when I played Scott Adams Adventure.
Okay.
Go Stump Go. So that was pretty fun. And then the VIC-20 had cartridges, Lunar Lander.
Right. And Albert A. was big in the PET for a while. He had a couple of PETs. He had a PET hard drives, the PET floppy disks, and all that stuff.
Remington Rand develops the first high-speed printer for use on the UNIVAC computer in 1953. The high-speed printer is comprised of four cabinets, a power supply, the printing machine, a control and checking device, and a tape reader. The tape-fed printer produces 600 lines of type per minute.
Was it chain? Do you know the technology of the actual printing? Probably a chain at that time.
1953. A chain?
Yeah. Because IBM ones, the older IBM ones were chain printers, where you have, how do I explain this? It's a chain where every link in the chain is a separate character.
Oh, weird.
But it is a chain because it can go around, it's flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this metal band, but it is individual links, and it can go around corners like a chain can, but every link, I say, is a character. And then that chain spins very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a straight line near the paper, and then it goes around the corner and comes back to a straight line behind that. So just the chain is constantly spinning like that.
All right.
And then there's a set of hammers behind every possible character position on the paper for that one line. There's little hammers. So the printer, the hammers wait until the chain comes around to the proper font that they want. Then they strike forward and print that character.
So
it can print. Within one revolution of the chain, it's able to print an entire line just by every position waiting until the character wants to come by the hammers.
So how many hammers would typically be there?
One for every possible character. So if it's 80 characters wide or 130 characters wide or whatever, or the common sizes, then that's how many hammers there would be.
So why would you spin the chain? Why wouldn't you have the chain just be flat against the hammers and just sit there?
Because you get the wrong characters. Yeah, every position needs the capability of printing any character. So the chain spins around so that every character passes by every spot. But you just fire the hammer.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
I got it.
But anyway, those are the early day high-speed ones that IBM was doing.
Okay.
So I don't know if these are the same or not.
So you had the alphabet and the chain, and then basically if you had A, you might have A.
Yeah.
You need A in different places on the paper.
Right. But every hammer just waits till the A comes
right
by itself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Was it fast?
Pretty fast, like the speed you're talking about, you know.
Hmm.
I wonder if I can remember the rhythm of it or something, but I can't really remember, but, you know, several entire lines per second, maybe.
Sounded like the band behind us?
Yeah, no.
No? That would have been awesome. Hey, listen to my printer!
But they could. You could make music with them.
So. Really?
Yeah.
What was that art? You were talking about something a long time ago where somebody... Oh, you know what? I think I can find this. Somebody compiled or made a whole song based on the sounds of...
Yeah, I have that with me, but he's not using line printers, but...
Okay.
No, people absolutely did make computer music out of line printers back then. They were printing exactly the right text. So the hammers fire in certain orders. You could definitely change the...
I was able to reproduce music, single tones, on the Sinclair by using different types of loops.
Right.
That played, basically the oscillator would, there was RF noise that the Sinclair would generate when you turned on the monitor or the TV. If you turned the volume up of the TV, it was not supposed to actually like make any sound, but the RF noise from the computer caused the output of the audio.
No, but
the
that
TV.
Was done. The very early computer music was just accidental stuff like that where people noticed that if they listened to their radio, like tuned away from a station, that they'll pick up static from the program where they can hear noises from the computer.
Hmm.
And so people deliberately wrote programs that would just make the static into notes that they wanted. And then, so they do that, and then they make other music with the line printer.
Okay.
Just by firing the chain, the hammer's at the right place in the line printer, you can make music with that.
That's awesome.
And then, so I do have this article I was going to mention later anyway about some modern-day guy took a bunch of old computer stuff and makes music out of it, where he has a scanner. And by feeding his own custom software to the scanner, you know how scanners have a pulsing motor that can
scan
across? So by feeding his own pulses to that motor, he can make it do bass notes, kind of, and he has just other old computer peripherals doing some of the other instruments. And there's a YouTube video of him playing a whole song and stuff.
Cool. What do you think of the food, Bess?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It is good. I'm surprised I didn't know about this place.
Yeah, because you're kind of close to this area. Yeah.
I am, yeah. Pleasant Hill.
Okay, Facebook is making motions by doing surveys and stuff if people would be willing to pay for a special URL.
Oh, yeah.
So your Facebook ID would be part of the URL instead of just having some weird numerical one or thing.
All right.
So they're just calling about vanity. Would you pay extra for vanity
URL? I don't think it's going to work because they've compared that idea to what MySpace already offers.
Right.
Which is a unique URL when you join.
Uh-huh.
You get that for free at MySpace.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Facebook offering premium services, I think that's the right way to go, but I don't think that that's one of the premium services they should be offering.
Yeah, but just one of the weird things that Facebook is doing is going to kill them because they have all those annoying applications and mm-hmm. they keep changing their interface and stuff. And I don't know. I know people are multi-Facebook users that think right. that they're going to fail eventually because of that stuff.
What about taking... What about offering professional services for, like, businesses and people who are actually selling something on Facebook, using Facebook as the... as sort of the homepage for their company? So you would... Mm-hmm. You would... Facebook would hire a bunch of people, like marketing people... and maybe some graphic designers to be in-house and then basically get paid to help people promote their Facebook profiles as a professional service. Facebook could make some money off of that.
But not for people, more for businesses.
Well, more for businesses, but don't limit it just to businesses because you might have singers, you might have whores. I mean,
what?
You might have baby shakers.
Okay.
iPhone people.
There you go.
I can kill a baby in 3 shakes.
Here's the video on Facebook. Yeah!
What's the name of that tune? I can kill that baby in 3 shakes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So the thing about the Facebook vanity URL, mm-hmm. having your own custom mm-hmm. URL, mm-hmm. they actually offer something like that already. If you go to your account settings,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but account settings and then privacy control and then there's an area there called search control or something.
Okay.
And you can choose your own username there.
Okay.
Now it's not as pretty as having facebook.com/Zane.
Right.
So it's something like facebook.com/search/your member ID number
Question mark equals 165955
Zane. See, Twitter is one of the few.
That's no good.
See, Twitter is one of the few that actually get that right. It's just twitter.com/your name.
Which is perfect.
You don't need a million other characters. Right. Whereas everyone else always makes it complicated. You know, even if you have a designer URL, it's usually much longer.
Huh.
So I think that feature, Facebook offering custom URLs,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's probably going to become famous among businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because individuals, I don't think they need it. So far it's working for individuals. You just link to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People don't say, oh, tell me your Facebook URL, I'm going to remember it.
Yeah, that's true. But there's one of the reasons why this was probably coming up is because people who don't want to become web designers find it very easy to use things like MySpace and Facebook to create a presence. So they can actually like add images, easily add sounds, have like a little blog, but they don't have to worry about the maintenance or the actual setup or development time needed because pretty much the tools are there. And Facebook is much more organized than MySpace, which is ugly and everything's all over the place. You don't have to understand how to do HTML.
Right.
Just get Drupal and install it, and then you've got your own website.
But Facebook, your home page, though, that people first see, doesn't really talk about you that much. It just has all this disjointed stuff about your news and walls and all this garbage that's not necessarily what someone wants to see for a business.
Yeah. You know? But yet there are some musicians that are doing it. I know people who have Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, MySpace tried to change the profile technology. They tried to make it so there were different kinds of profiles. There was like the... What's that? Oh, it's hungry. We've got this gigantic bug sitting there looking at us.
Is it a bee or what?
No, just sitting there looking at us like...
That's,
okay. I'm going
get
to eat your food.
Get bees
sometimes. Yeah, I was like, what's touching my hand?
Okay. Did it look like a little pig? Like a little miniature pig?
It did.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
that's
you got it.
It.
Yeah, you got it.
Is that it?
You touched it?
Is that
you got it.
I felt I touched it.
Yeah. Okay,
Did he come up from Mexico?
I think he did. I don't feel
good. Mexico. I have these videos. I hope we should post one.
That's sick now.
I have these videos I took in Tijuana.
Your nose is okay. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll check. I'll be able to keep
that's the only thing I care about.
No, it's
starting to happen.
Oh, it's
looking
good. No, I have these videos I took in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Of a bunch of bees, or someone told me they're not really bees, they just look like bees, but a huge number of insects swarming around, just food, and they're in food stalls and stuff, and people would just shove them aside and still buy that food.
Really?
Really bizarre, yeah. Maybe I'll stick one of those on there.
Well, there is that point of building up immunity by surrounding yourself with germs.
Right, right.
And that they say, people who are so sensitive to that, if they seclude themselves, they actually make it worse.
Actually, this is the thing. I was arguing with Troy. I always argue with Troy. About why doesn't someone come up as a joke, but maybe people would buy it, the tapeworm diet. You know, buy a tapeworm from us and swallow it.
I'm already done.
And then the tapeworm will eat, well, you can eat as much as you want, because your tapeworm will eat it for you and digest it for you. So I did a web search. It turns out that people do this.
Hold on. I gotta go shake a baby.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
I thought it was already dead. Oh, there are no extras on the
They keep dropping them off. I got to shake your baby box over here.
Oh, there's more of them. Yeah, okay.
Shut up. What was the that for?
The stupid band without the banjo again.
They're actually not bad.
Best. No banjo. Okay? No tuba. Okay?
So, Mark, would...
No pipe organ.
Would you be satisfied, even though I interrupted you, would you be satisfied if somebody were to just stand here by the table and play a banjo?
Yes. I would love that, yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted before I had to shake a baby.
I forgot what I was saying. It was a very important point. Oh, the tapeworms, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a Google search on tapeworms as diet control.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe how many hits there are. People really do that, or at least they talk about why it would work or why it wouldn't work. Mm. Apparently some people try it and stuff. But then I found the first or second hit was about a company that would sell you different types of worms on the theory of just what you were saying. We grow up too pristine, too clean nowadays. We have all kinds of autoimmune diseases because the body doesn't have any real diseases to fight, so it starts fighting itself. And stuff.
Yeah.
So they would sell you these other kinds of worms that are very common in other mammals and stuff, but they wouldn't be a diet aid whatsoever. You just simply take these worms to get them in your body just so your body would fight them and it would cure your real diseases and you'd feel so much happier, perkier, and everything.
This is like immunizations where they actually take a germ or a virus and they disable it, but they leave enough of it intact so that your body knows how to not only kill it, but recognize it in the future.
But in this case, you're buying from this company real living worms that you stick in your body. But they claim it's okay because they're disease-free. They farm these worms in farms and stuff so that they know that they're very pure.
I might do it.
That makes me think of two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how much is a tapeworm?
They were charging...
I'm not thinking about it. A couple thousand dollars.
They were charging.
Really?
It's not just any tapeworm. It's pure and farm-certified, disease-free.
Farm-certified.
And disease-free.
Plug and play.
You get a certification in the mail when you buy them?
So. Yeah, I think so.
They have money back guarantee. If you die, they'll put the money back in your account.
It knows its name, too.
It's like Furbies. When you buy a Furby?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I have like two or three.
You still have them?
Yeah.
Furbies were these dolls that came with certification, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You bought a fantastically clean Furby. Tapeworm.
So do you know the joke about how to get rid of tapeworms? It's very long, and I'm probably going to screw it up, so maybe we'll rehearse it sometime when the microphone's off and all, so I can get it right, but anyway.
We first have to get over the swine flu.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So second question, quick question.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So do you have to actually take your certified tapeworm to a hospital? I mean, can you just swallow it?
Yeah, they send it to you to eat at home, yeah. So all the worms they send, you're meant to...
So imagine I force myself to eat it. I don't know how, but I do.
The preferred method is to get pita bread. You get like pita bread and maybe some mustard and some Miracle
Tabasco.
You could do Tabasco. Yeah, that's true, because you don't want to taste it. You can just lay them down flat in the pita bread.
I don't remember. They're not that long. No, you buy baby ones. You don't buy.
I like the Tabasco.
I would do it with Tabasco. Yeah, because you'll be so much like in pain, you won't think about the tapeworm.
No, but you're buying baby ones. That's what I'm saying. You just swallow it. You wouldn't really notice.
So how do you... I'm glad I finished my food. So how do you get rid of it when you're done?
Why would you want to? You wouldn't want to get rid of it. What do you mean?
So it's like your life partner.
A life partner?
But on the inside.
So instead of a male or a bride...
You have your life partner on the outside.
So instead of a male or...
You're one on the inside.
You know, that's awesome. Instead of a mail order bride.
Right.
And people calling you, oh, you're so lonely, you're going online to find someone.
No,
you get a mail order tapeworm.
Tapeworm, got it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Honey, I was going to get married to you, and I know the wedding's set up to be this, but you know what? I met somebody else. I'm sorry. They're going to be
not going to betray me.
They're going to be with me for life.
Yes.
They're going to take care of me, and I'm going to take care of them.
Yeah, maybe for Valentine's Day, you can eat a heartworm, get a heartworm, a real heartworm. Those exist. You know?
Wow. I think this is a new medical profession, like you know, mixing matching the tapeworms.
Yeah, but just do a Google search on tapeworm diet. You'll see. I'm not making this up. There's a million hits on this.
And for the listeners, even though it may sound like the three of us have tapeworms in our heads, I mean, it does sound logical when you think about it because it has benefits.
Brainworms.
I mean, most of us keep going to hospitals or trying new things just to clean up our stomach, and a tapeworm does it perfectly.
Right.
And a tapeworm doesn't kill you. I mean, not that I know of.
Right.
They eat dead skin tissue as well, right? There's certain... I've heard of this being treated certain wounds and stuff that people get.
Okay.
I don't know if it's tapeworms. It's another kind of a bug.
Right.
Where they literally put these things in the wound and then stitch the wound back up temporarily while they're in there. And these little guys basically chew away all the dead tissue or the tissue that's infected.
Right.
And it becomes very, very clean. And then eventually they open up the wound again and take these guys out.
Okay. I think I'm remembering the joke.
Uh-oh.
Should I do it?
Yes.
You can cut it out if I know. Okay. This guy goes to the doctor and he has a tapeworm. And the doctor says, I have to give you some homework. Here's my tapeworm removal kit. And he shows him a big hammer and a box of cookies and a radio.
All right.
Okay. I'm not so sure about the radio. That may not... I can make a joke out of it. It may not be the right one.
All right.
Okay. And so he says, take these home. I'll give the instructions on what to do with them. Actually, I'll keep the hammer, but you take the radio and the box of cookies home.
Okay.
So here's what you do. Every day, I'll hold the radio up to your ass and play it very loudly for 1 minute. Okay. Then wait 1 minute. No, that's right. Then immediately after that, shove a cookie up your ass, all the way up your ass.
All the way up your ass?
Yes.
All
so right. Once a day, maybe twice a day, go through that procedure.
All right.
Then come back to me after a week. Just don't flake. You have to really do this very carefully, like twice a day. You really have to. Okay. So then he goes to the doctor the next week. The doctor has him undressed. The doctor plays the radio only, but does not shove a cookie up his ass.
Okay.
Okay. And then the doctor says, okay, wait, just watch. Watch what's going to happen. And then after a minute, the tapeworm sticks his head out and says, where's my cookie? And then the doctor takes the hammer and smashes it and he kills it.
Did he say it like that? Where's my cookie?
Yes. The way I heard it, that's...
Where's my cake?
Where's my cake?
Creep show?
Where's
my cake?
I know. I love saying that.
Nice.
I always say that.
Where's my cookie?
I know.
Tapeworm, baritone tapeworm coming out of my ass.
Right.
He's going to sing an operatic.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of the most famous X-Files episode from the first season. Do you remember?
Episode.
The
X-Files.
The big...
Nerd alert. Go ahead.
I was going to say the big nerd. No, the big tapeworm. I forgot the episode name.
Oh, shit. I missed it.
Oh, shit.
And
you're talking about tapeworm?
No, I missed the... I never got into the X-Files, to be honest, but...
It's a good show. It's a really good show.
Right.
Okay.
But basically what it was, because of the Chernobyl incident, this tapeworm somehow, around New York or somewhere, becomes an actual large living organism.
Okay.
It has almost no brain, but it knows how to reproduce.
Okay.
But that'll happen. With radiation, that'll happen, you know.
Yeah.
I get that way.
So the whole thing is...
I have no brain, but I know how to reproduce. Sounds like me.
So you understand that episode. There you go.
Man, I feel for the tapeworm. But go ahead.
So yeah, the whole thing is that it's trying to suck its way into a human being and...
Wow.
And the FBI agents are trying to stop it.
I gotta go find that.
One of the top... in my view, one of the best three episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, so... I don't know, I just remembered that, so...
That's
and I'm done
cool.
eating, so I can talk about
it. Yeah, I know. I'm doing okay so far.
You're okay. You're an iPhone user. It's okay for you.
We have a slurp. What are we slurping? We're not.
We're slurping. I got some sarsaparilla.
I bought me some sarsaparilla, so it's great. Yeah. I'm just sitting here sucking down on my sarsaparilla.
I'm eating a Stewart's black cherry.
And I'm slurping a Coca-Cola
from where?
Bottle from Mexico.
Wow.
And I'm proud of it.
Wow.
And even though everyone is standing around waiting for me to drop dead, mm-hmm. I'm still going to drink it.
It's getting cluttered. His nose is getting cluttered.
I am, right? I feel different and kind of.
Well, Bess is taking a little
heavy.
Bit more time, but you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
So. All right. Any more articles, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. So. See what.
You want a live audience, so I could put this off and throw it on the phone.
That's too much like John C. Dvorak.
Okay, Wes, do you have a chip ID? Bess and I both have chip IDs. Do you have one? You don't have a chip ID?
I don't know, I might. Maybe I do and I don't know. Maybe somebody snuck into my room in the middle of the night and gave me a chip ID.
No.
Yeah, no, go to chip. Not that one.
CHI.MP.
Oh, chimp.
Chimp.
CHI.MP. I thought you meant chip ID.
No.
A chimp.
Yeah.
How do you guys have a chimp ID?
We learned about this from Justin. We'll talk about Justin later. But,
yeah.
Because Justin has a chip ID.
Does he?
Yeah. So anyway, you go to CHI.MP.
Yes. .MP?
Yes. And they'll give you a free website of your own. They'll give you a domain name.
Uh-huh.
You won't just have a suffix.
Yep.
They'll give you west.mp or whatever you want.
Really?
.mp. You actually get the entire URL.
Okay.
However, you can't control the HTML on there. It has to be formatted. Remember a long time ago, one of our very first shows, we talked about my blog log?
Yes.
Okay. No, they're kind of developing something like my blog log.
Okay.
Where you put a bunch of information about yourself and it'll update itself from what your activities are in other places and stuff. But you get the real domain name, whatever .mp.
Hmm. So. This sounds like what all the social media networks are trying to do.
Yeah.
This is too similar to MySpace and Facebook and Twitter.
Well, except you can't. You can't really make it look like what you want. All you can do is put in these social networks that you're already a member of,
right.
And it'll bring in activities that you've been doing on those places.
Hmm.
It's like your resume,
right.
Listing all your social networks wherever you are.
Hmm.
So if someone goes to your chimp website, that's funny, chimp website, your ID, they'll see a link to your Facebook profile.
But it's not just
MySpace.
That, but it'll update and actually show what you've been doing. Except it only seems to work with Twitter right now. But
what was the extension of the URL, the web domains?
MP.
Well, not MP, but there was a TEL.
Yes,
that sounds very similar to this.
Yeah, that's what's so funny, is that Justin is the one who bothers you. If you mention .tel and criticize it on Twitter, this guy named Justin will start bothering you about how wonderful .tel is and offer to answer all your questions and stuff.
Okay.
Right. But if you look at Justin's .tel site, he points to his chip ID. Where I learned about it.
Okay.
But the chip ID does pretty much exactly the same thing as .tel, but it's free.
So
whereas the .tel, you have to pay from $12.95 to $35 a year, depending on which registrar you get them through.
Nice.
You know? Plus a whole bunch of other things that we don't like about .tel, really.
Yeah.
I do have one, phonetrips.tel.
You did talk to me about it. You showed that to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So.
Cool.
But anyway.
So, the rumor, even though, what was that Cook guy? The rumor is that Apple is going to be introducing some kind of. We talked about this before, it was off and on, but now there's even more like.
But it's still no reason to believe it, really.
There's no reason to. Well, there's no reason to believe that they're going to call it a netbook.
Okay.
But Apple may release some kind of a tablet, larger touchscreen-like device that's similar to the iPhone or iTouch.
Yeah.
But will be more in between a full-blown laptop and a netbook. Somewhere in between that.
Okay.
One of the reasons is that it was recently found out that they purchased a whole slew of touchscreen, about 10-inch screen, something like that.
Right. Why wouldn't it just be a real Mac? Well,
it'll be a real
Windows.
Mac. It will be a real Mac. I mean, if you can get an iPhone or an iTouch to run OS X.
Yeah, but iPhones don't run the real OS X.
A subset of OS X. Yeah.
Right, but you think for something like a netbook, you'd want the real thing. Because Windows netbooks are complete 100%
Right.
Complete notebooks with complete operating systems.
Well, see, that's the challenge.
Just that they're small.
That's the challenge that Apple faces, is that if they're going to come out with a netbook, it's got to be better than anything out now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would suspect that they would probably definitely be running a full OS X version.
Right.
Probably be very fast. Mm-hmm. And have something unique that nobody's ever seen before.
Right.
Like, you know, having a large Newton-like touchscreen, multi-touch,
right,
would be awesome if it was powerful enough to do really serious computing. Like, you know, if I could install Photoshop on there,
right,
that I bought, you know, at the store or what have you.
With like an iPhone,
yeah,
version of there's this,
no,
there's
OS iPhone. X version that just runs,
okay,
real thing, under
okay,
a very small network.
Yeah, because,
like,
say iPhone has 30,000 apps or whatever,
right,
but they're very simplified compared to real...
So would you think that if they were to do that, then the next step is to somehow merge the OS X desktop with iPhone, with the iPhone OS X, so that you could now start to run iPhone applications on your desktop?
And vice versa?
Exactly.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That would be a logical step.
That would be a really good step. Yeah. Merge the whole thing together, and then it's like all one platform,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether you have this iPhone 2 or
right,
3
right,
or this, or your OS X desktop, you can right, still share these apps back and forth.
Yeah, okay.
I bet you that's what's coming.
What about the pricing, though? Because iPhone apps are typically $1 or $2
mm-hmm,
for somebody that does exactly the same thing as a desktop app. It's $100. They don't really do the same thing.
The only
thing
I could compare them to are widgets.
Yeah.
You know, like they have widget applications for Windows
right,
XP and
okay,
Mac.
Okay.
But you could still, I could see that merging onto the desktop very, very easily. I could still see purchasing small applications like the ones that are available for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
For $2 or $3 that run on my desktop.
Okay.
And wouldn't that be awesome to have that door swing open for people on the desktop? Now
right,
you can look. You can have an icon on your desktop that you double-click and it launches the application.
And the application would be about the size of a widget, really. If you take an iPhone screen and compare it to a desktop screen,
right,
it would really just be a little corner or something. So be a proper,
but have that whole
size,
thing be embedded within, have the, everything that needs to run those be embedded within the OS itself.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
But having the full-blown OS on a really tiny device is, first of all, kind of bad for battery life at the moment. And then the screen is too small, really, to try to do something as ambitious as that.
Well, we got to keep in mind. Keep in mind that what bothers me and you about a small screen on the netbooks
right,
is the fact that it's hard to use a keyboard and mouse.
Right.
Because and the graphics are really, really tiny. When if you turn that, if you get rid of the keyboard, get rid of the mouse, and you
okay,
just simply touch the screen,
right,
the experience might be a little bit different. Actually, maybe I don't know what I'm talking
about.
Actually,
it's worse because with a real keyboard, at least you have the entire screen to look at all the time. But with the iPhone keyboard, it blocks half the screen. So, you know, so
that's true, yeah.
You know,
yeah, but dragging and dropping and games and programs that are made to be manipulated like that
mm-hmm,
with the touch and drag and drop,
right,
that makes a lot of sense, though.
Sure.
Especially if the screen's
sure,
larger. If it's like a 10-inch screen.
Oh, that could be okay, yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
You know, I think they can do it. They can easily make a device that's much better than the netbook.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm,
one of the reasons the netbook became a fad, I don't think it's a fad anymore this year, but last year everyone was like, I have to get a netbook.
Yeah.
And netbooks, if you look at it, is just basically a smaller and less powerful version of any standard Windows laptop. That's
exactly
all it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's true.
And if you look on the Apple side, their MacBook Air, they really mastered the thinness.
Right.
So they're already halfway there. I mean, that's even thinner
true
than the smallest smallest of netbooks.
That's a good point.
So they already mastered the thinness, so now they just have to shrink the width, and
they're there.
Right. And they've got that single carving thing that they're talking about, how they, like, carve, like, out of one block.
What about the price? Because I have my Sony notebook that I still use is very, very, very much like a modern-day netbook, except it's a little bit larger, but still quite small compared to a regular notebook. But 3 years ago, that was $2,000.
Right.
And up until very recently, I mean, Sony is now being forced to drop the price like everybody is because of the netbooks. But... So the real thing to me is not that netbooks are that much smaller or lighter, it's that they're cheaper.
Yeah.
As I say, you always could buy notebooks.
Well, that's what the attraction of the netbooks are.
Price, yes.
Yeah, the netbooks are like, they're inexpensive, but yet they're fairly powerful.
Right.
Enough to do simple things.
Sure.
I bet
they're more powerful than my notebook, actually. And,
I bet the Air was not only an accomplishment for Apple to get something that small, but also a way for them to bring the manufacturing costs down so that they could go with something like a small netbook and keep the costs cheap.
But who's making one just as thin? There's a Windows notebook now.
Not Dell.
No.
I
forgot, but there is one just
Is it Toshiba?
Just as thin.
Yeah, but they tout that it's like really, really, and it comes with a hard or a CD-ROM drive or something like that.
Maybe, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I do wonder about something. A few days ago, Steve Jobs said, I don't know if you heard or not, that netbooks are crap. I think that was his exact quote.
Yeah.
So does that mean they're not going to go in that direction? I mean, they may come out with a smaller laptop, but they're not going to compete with that.
I bet it means they're just not going to call what they come out with a netbook. Right. They're going to call it something like a tablet.
Or it won't be crap. It'll be that size, but much more powerful.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Touch screen, multi-touch, whatever.
No, but do you remember in the iPod days, before the video iPod, Steve Jobs announced that video on a handheld thing is ridiculous.
Yes, right. I remember that.
And then 3 months later, they came out with one. And obviously, we're already working on it. But,
yes.
You know. So he lies sometimes. But
I don't know if it's lying.
I guess it's downplay expectations and then coming out with something that no one expects.
Right.
Because one of the benefits about Apple is coming out with products that you don't expect.
Right.
You hope for it, but you don't expect it's going to happen.
Right.
When it happens, you're just like, oh my God, Apple is the best.
Yeah.
So Steve's lick factor. Mm-hmm. Remember that I talked about that?
Yes.
Was it the Aqua? Was the name of the technology behind the OS X's graphic interface?
Okay.
They had so everything was glossy.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
With the OS X introduced.
You want to lick it when you see it.
So Steve's thing was it's got to have high lick factor, high lick value. So it makes you want to lick whatever that application looks like.
Right. Okay.
So for these netbooks, the next logical step in this.
Cover them with whipped cream.
No. It's going to be, instead of high lick factor, it's got to be high huff value.
Oh,
So you're going to want to, you get that application on that netbook, you're going to want to puff the shit out of the app.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
No? This is not a kid's program, by the way. Sorry.
Okay. No, but you always mark them explicit, so it's okay.
We can
talk about whatever.
When I double click on that RSS feed generation tool, I get so turned on when it comes up on the screen. It's just like, man.
Yeah.
No?
You want to mark explicit. You just feel the need to mark
not
it
only
explicit.
I went from wanting to lick it and chew on it and nibble it to wanting to have massive sex with this thing and take it to bed.
Right.
All right.
And you're saying that the next MacBook will be like that.
It's going to have high fluff value. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Is fluffvalue.com take?
No.
Let's look for it.
I'm sure it's taken.
You think so?
How many people would actually say that they would have sex with their computer if you asked them?
A lot?
Like, in worldwide.
I'm going to go home and search my tweets.
Okay.
And see if I've said it.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I mean, if it's the thing that's making money for you and you're dependent on it and you've made, a lot of money from it.
I bet you'll find a lot of people talking about that.
I bet people would say, I'd shit out of my Mac.
Yeah. Right.
No? Yes?
Certainly not a Windows machine.
Well, yeah. Oh, he means the other way.
Okay. Should I talk about this video?
Oh, God. Here we go. This is the porn section of the
kind
show.
Of. Yes. Did I send you a video? I'm sure I sent it to you. You may not have played it.
Well.
About a guy in the office kind of playing around.
With
a ball. Yeah, I sent you that.
I saw that.
So, no, it's just a guy who's very, very good at juggling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in the office all alone after hours or something. He's sitting there juggling balls and throwing them around and bouncing. Just very highly skillful, bouncing balls off stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'll post the URL to it. Then at the end, there's an amazing end. What
he's
he does,
playing around with the ball, he's bored, and it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But there's something very interesting at the end. However,
really,
everyone has to see that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It makes you wonder: is it real or not? But it's real.
It looks real. Yeah, it looks real.
Huh. All right, so we got to move on to the applications.
Okay.
And I know, Mark, you're ready to go.
Yeah, but maybe have more
I'm kind of ready too.
Maybe you have more items. I don't know.
Well, you might, but we're running out of time.
Okay.
I actually this time went ahead and purchased a couple of games.
Okay.
My applications are going to be all game based today.
Okay. Well, should I do the? Can your BlackBerry do this, or should I give Siri a zap? Does it have two of you? What kind of phone do you have?
Bess is right here, so he's on my side.
What kind of phone do you have, Ben? Which model iPhone do you have?
I'm the proud owner
of an
HTC Touch Pro.
That's not an iPhone. No, I asked you what model iPhone do you
have. He's got the HTC. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's not an iPhone.
It's not an iPhone.
All right.
It's the iPhone killer. Once you have this, you never want an iPhone.
Yeah.
See, it looks so much better.
No, it's not that. I don't see it killing it. I'm waiting for it to kill it.
Ooh, it just killed it.
No, it's not killing it. My iPhone's still here. It's not killing it. It's not dead yet. It's right here.
I don't know. That's a real keyboard with buttons that actually depress.
I did wish I had that.
And this is touch screen too.
Yeah.
And Windows people were not trying to save a few dollars on a stylus.
Why would you need a stylus? Why would you need one?
Why would you use that so to poke the iPhone
people? But you lose it.
On
my Windows Mobile,
yes.
The most common use of a stylus, because I learned to use it with my fingers. I didn't really... I would type with my fingernail and stuff. I didn't really use the stylus.
Yes.
By far, the most common use of the stylus was to reset it because it kept crashing all the time. I'm not kidding. I'm deadly serious.
Yeah, but that's true. I have reset it a lot.
That yeah, you know what right. Troy calls it? Troy makes up his own names. He doesn't really read other computer people.
Okay.
He's pretty good with computers as a user, but he doesn't really follow what other people do or talk to other people.
Okay.
So he makes up his own words. He calls it, I have to needle my computer now. What?
What?
Well, it's crashed. I have to needle it. What? You know, I take good. The stylus and I kind of stick it in the holder.
Needle it, man.
That sounds like his. It's got high fuck value.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does sound like it.
If he's needling his computer?
Yeah, I know.
All right. His cell
phone. Okay, so let me find the... actually, that one's serious. Oh, that one's serious. Okay. I've talked about apps before where you can take a picture of someone and then make zits on them and pop them.
Right, yeah.
There's about three or four of those. Okay. Your phones don't have any, do they?
Well, I don't know. He's closer to having something like that than I am on my BlackBerry. Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. The HTC has some applications that that have that kind of entertainment value, though.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the serious one coming.
I don't know. I should not say that without knowing actual,
there probably is,
but I bet there are.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Can you take a picture and throw virtual darts at it? When you have your enemies, just throw darts. Let's make them bleed. Put their eye out. This guy's eye turned blue. Why is his eye turning blue instead of red? Eyes bleed red, don't they? I don't know.
I guess if it's red, then people are going to complain about it.
Oh, okay. But can your phone do that? Oh, no. They're like paint guns. So you bring up kinds of paints and squirt it at them or something. Okay, anyway. But your phone can't do it. Can your phone run Table? There's an application where it makes a picture of a table,
uh-huh.
And there's an object on the table.
Yes.
And you can use your finger.
Yes.
And you can move that object around on top of the table with your finger.
Wow.
Can your phone do that?
Probably.
Probably
several apps that do things like that.
There's another zip popping one. See? Okay. You know, there's just a bunch of them,
My BlackBerry cannot do that, though, by the way.
Okay. A new breakthrough in fart apps? Monkey farts.
What?
We've had pig farts.
Yes.
We've had human farts. Yes. A lot of human fart ones.
Uh-huh. Monkey farts.
And now we have monkey farts. See?
Can you play a sample?
No, not for that. I'd have to download it.
You didn't even download it talking about it on the show? What? That's cheating. Or not cheating. Yeah.
But it includes 17 fart sounds.
I'm getting no satisfaction.
But not only fart sounds, but fun fart sounds. Not just regular fart sounds.
Can you give us a sample?
No.
He has to download that too.
Okay, you've seen my...
Well, I get the catalog or application. You've seen my cat. About them like I've got them.
I know. You've seen my cat remote control?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I saw that.
Well, they have a parent one now, just like it, where you can command your parents. If you're a kid living at home, you can give commands to your parents, to shut them up.
Now, can you put custom commands in it? Like attack, suicide,
I don't know.
So enough of this. Can I go on with mine now?
Farting elephants?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Elephant.
Farting Dumbo.
See? And your phone's just...
I would buy farting Dumbo.
Elephant?
Yeah.
Dumbo, if it said Dumbo, I'd buy it.
I want an app that farts, but like after a period of like 30 minutes, you leave it sitting there like you invite your girlfriend over and start kissing and have it go...
There's about 10 of those, seriously.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. There's a remote control one. Remember where you can remove from a second iPhone, you can remote control the first one.
Fart,
there's timer ones.
So did you know the kid who did the bump application, which won he got the 10,000 song download?
But you know they cheated. That was one of my articles that you wouldn't give me time to talk about.
Oh,
but now I can, because you just introduced it.
Well, no, I just said that.
They cheated. That kid did not win whatsoever.
The kid was 13 years old who wrote that application.
But that was totally cheating. They rigged that vote completely. There's a whole big team of people who totally rigged that vote. It's not true whatsoever. Huh. And you can prove that to yourself by taking the first letter from the... Just go down vertically, the first letter of each name.
Uh-huh.
You see it spells words. And the team that put it together deliberately made rigged the votes to get them in that order.
Wow.
So not only did they get the people they wanted on there, but they got them in exactly the order they wanted to send this message and stuff.
Nice.
I'll post an article.
I want to see that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, about how they did it.
All right, so in my applications, you remember, you know, John Carmack, the guy who invented that engine that was incredibly great for first-person shooters?
Yeah.
Well, back in the old days, I don't know if you remember this was in the PS2 IBM days.
Okay.
Microchannel architecture, remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so back in those days, ID was the company. They came out with a game called Wolfenstein 3D.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So okay, this was a sequel to a very, very famous Apple II and Commodore and Atari version of Wolfenstein, which was which was one of the first games to have the 1-bit speaker actually play back digital audio recorded voices.
Right. I remember, I remember that.
I forget exactly how they said it, but anyway, fun game. It was very rudimentary. It was like very, very simple in its graphics and stuff, and it was really kind of hard to play, but the fact that the level that you were playing was much wider, much larger than the screen, and you had to move from room to room and watch out for these guards.
Okay.
Well, so Carmack, who had also been working on something called Commander Keen, he did the side-scrolling engine for that to make it very, very smooth. These were DOS-based games.
Okay.
Invented the engine behind behind Wolfenstein 3D.
Okay.
Well, they've now released the iPhone iTouch application that is the exact same code base as Wolfenstein 3D for the iPhone, with a brand new sort of way of navigating, which is very, very difficult to get a hold of. But it's fun because it plays just like the original game, and it runs.
But do you need to add ROMs later, or do you buy it from the App Store and it's just the entire game?
No, it's just
right
the
there?
Entire game right there.
It's not an emulator that you have to add your own.
Including new levels.
Yes,
it's not an emulator. It's an iPhone app game. And
what's the name of it?
It is. It's not free. In fact, I think it's $4. It's called Wolf 3D.
Okay.
So go ahead and get 3D. Get a hold of that.
Yeah, that's the original name. Wolf 3D.
Is that the original?
I thought Wolf Chris invented that.
Really?
Yeah. We have a friend named Wolf Chris.
And I just downloaded one today, which I wasn't really sure was going to be that fun, but I actually kind of fell in love with it. It's called Base Jumper.
Okay.
And the whole idea is that you're like a parachutist guy with wings who can jump off of very, very high buildings and different things. And you have to actually use the accelerometer to navigate as the guy falls.
Okay.
It's three-dimensional, so you're like actually seeing things go by.
And, but he's waving his arms around, his legs around.
Yeah, he's waving, and you can control him and get him to fly through.
I knew someone in the Air Force who said that they were taught that if they jump out of the plane, their parachute won't open. They should be all that they can be as they fall to the ground and spread themselves out. Except that's really the Army, the wrong slogan. That's the Army slogan rather than the Air Force. But anyway, they did teach them to be all you can be, and then as you try to slow your fall.
Well, I have.
Bess has some HTC.
Oh, you have an iPhone app on your HTC?
On the HTC, and only on the HTC, I have a game called Teeter.
Okay.
And what it is you have to navigate a small ball around a system of maze.
Okay.
Right.
And you actually hold the phone like a maze, and you move the phone.
And you think there aren't 10... I'm serious. There's at least 10 iPhone apps that do that. I'm deadly serious. I don't have one loaded right now, but I'd show you.
And
it
vibrates.
I could download
and
one.
And responds to everything.
It doesn't talk. The iPhone one makes noise. No, the
you
iPhone
have to get
one,
into the hole.
The iPhone one makes noise as you turn it around. I'll download one for you.
That is cool.
No, but the iPhone has at least 10
No, no, but the vibrating is dope. That's
But
awesome.
The iPhone one has vibrating. The iPhone one has noises of the ball rolling around.
What is it called? Labyrinth Light?
There's a bunch of them.
Labyrinth Light is probably one of the best ones.
There's a bunch of clones in them.
But this is very cool. I have never played with the vibration thing, though, on the iPhone. I actually don't. So does it work well, the vibrator?
It works really well.
I mean, this is great.
And it works as a vibrator, too?
I'll get back to you on that. Let me
No, this is very cool how they got that to work.
Okay.
Ah,
no, but that's not new. They copied iPhone app apps that have been around for 6 months.
All right, so do you have that? Because I'll show.
I don't have one loaded right now.
Okay, I do. I'll show Beth.
No, but you don't have sound on yours, right? Cause,
I do have sound, but I don't have I don't have the vibration thing.
Yeah. Did I talk about 10 balls, 7 cups? You know what the video, the YouTube video, 3 girls, 1 cup?
Okay. It's not going to vibrate.
You maybe
but
know what to know that.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
And it's also three dimensional. So you'll see as you tilt it, the actual maze.
You're tilting it.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway,
the maze.
The maze moves. Yeah.
Oh, that's
awesome. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
But anyway, for those familiar with the Three girls, one cup.
Two girls,
video.
One cup.
Two girls, one cup video.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Actually, someone sent me...
Actually, I don't know what I'm talking about. So, what
someone,
are you talking about?
Someone sent me one worse, so I think I won't even post. That's one guy, one cup, and it's probably even worse. Really? But
how can one guy be any worse than the two girls,
oh,
one
it,
cup?
Oh, it is. Please.
Really?
It's, right. Maybe I'll send it to you privately, but okay. I probably won't post it.
All right.
But anyway, so someone just has just... a ski ball simulator. Maybe I talked about this before. It's just the name is funny. He calls it 10 balls, 7 cups. Because
okay.
You have 10 balls of the ski ball game that you want to roll into one of 7 cups, you know, to win
nice.
5 million.
Okay.
Because speaking of our good buddy Justin, there's a Dotel application for the iPhone now where you can make changes to your Dotel webpage from the iPhone, so needing to log in with a regular browser.
Okay.
And I'm just going to show this one to Bessie. I probably talked about this on here before, but Bess, can your phone do this?
That is
no,
cool.
No, that is awesome.
That is
no,
cool.
but I may have talked about that before.
That is pretty cool.
And the thing I was showing you guys before, was the tape going, or was that before?
I don't know.
No, the one where I was going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the grill?
Was that on the air? Yeah, that was on the
no,
air.
No, we never talked about that.
Oh, okay, then let me do that one. Except it'll take me a while to find out.
There's a lot of apps today. We're talking about a lot of apps.
I know. But no, but these are things that your phone can't do, see?
Yeah.
But the thing is, do we want to do these things? I mean, do we need an iPhone to whistle, or can we whistle with real
friends?
See,
you're just jealous.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that's right.
Mine's more geared towards getting things done.
I remember I wanted
right?
to
My applications
explain.
Do things.
Yes,
whereas,
yeah. I have to answer you, Bess, from some Twitter things, and also just explain this about you guys' jealousy. You know perfectly well you want fart apps stuff, but you just can't have them, so you pretend you don't care. But the way fart apps came about on the iPhone, and I may be giving away a trade secret. When you buy an iPhone, it has a certificate in there that asks you to keep this very secret, where it tells you something about yourself, because people who buy iPhones are really quite different. Yeah, have you heard the phrase
what?
Talked about, you know how presidents of corporations, presidents of the country and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah.
You ever heard the phrase, their farts stink, their shit stinks just
yes.
like everybody else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, here's the thing. iPhone owners don't. Our shit does not stink. We do not make fart noises. We're in a plane above that.
Really?
And that's why fart noises are so popular, because we want to act like we're like everybody else. We don't want people to realize the plane that we're at.
I've got
so
better,
we have these fart apps.
I've got a better word for iPhone for
yeah.
iPhone users, and that is Steve's got you by the balls.
Huh? What are you saying, Wes?
It means...
I don't understand, Wes. Now, this isn't going to make any sense on audio, but
it doesn't work quite
but
well.
I'm showing
and
this
why
program.
Is Colonel Sanders in the lower left-hand corner?
Because they sponsored it.
Oh,
it's a free app.
He's
they,
sponsored.
Yeah,
oh, I see. So... No, because you're limited to only what Apple will allow.
I
unless
it's
you
my
jailbreak.
Jailbreak.
Unless
there's
you...
not that much. There's actually not that
much. But that's
that
why
much.
I say that Steve's got you
yeah.
by the nutsack. Because that's really... that's Apple is holding you hostage
right.
by keeping all these DRM things with their with their iTunes music.
And that's why we only have 30,000 apps and over a billion downloads. And how many do you have? In your BlackBerry store?
Probably like
how
about 400 or 500 in the App Store.
Oh, 400 or 500, yeah.
There's going to be more. It's
there'll be more, yeah.
But see, in terms of productivity and who gets more done, BlackBerry top-notch in the whole world, business-wise.
Yeah, because you can...
Not for any good reason. People feel that way, but I don't think that can be justified why.
Well, one of the things is that it's not as protected. Like, applications can have access to pretty much anything they want on the BlackBerry, whereas Apple does not allow developers to have access to all of the built-in apps
they don't want to
well.
Crash.
Well, it's not just that. Yeah. It's they want to protect their own... their.
But with like Windows Mobile, like Steve said that with Windows Mobile where you can run anything you want, sometimes it gets to the point you can't even answer the phone, and that's absolutely true.
Right. Yeah.
I had a lot of situations with Windows Mobile that I literally couldn't answer the phone. I had to
Wait, Windows Mobile
Windows Mobile.
Okay.
My iPhone has that problem too sometimes because of jailbreak
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say
but,
that.
But I think
that
it's really
No, I've heard
jailbreak
that it's
stuff.
Even that case in the non-jailbroken iPhone application that you get stuck into situations where if you're doing something, depending on the application, you can't answer the phone.
I wonder if that's still true nowadays, man. But Windows Mobile will definitely happen.
They are opening it up, and in time, I think Apple will allow pretty much everything that Jailbreak does to exist in some form on the core OS.
Right.
But
see, one of the things they are really strict about jailbreaking and stuff is because of their, in my view, contract with AT&T.
That's part of it. Yeah.
AT&T doesn't want.
Although, jailbreak and unlocking the used foreign SIMs is a totally different thing. Because it's much more difficult to unlock the phone than it is to jailbreak it.
In the beginning, I thought, before I talked with you and stuff, I thought, you can unlock an iPhone and use it on Sprint.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't, even though there are so many YouTube videos, which, I showed you, which say, hey, I've done it successfully.
Yeah. They're jailbroken and they fake the Sprint. Sprint if I want to.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and then the other thing about those videos, the other way they cheat. They'll say, "Look, I'm dialing.
Sprint customer
I'm
support.
Dialing. I'm dialing 611 Sprint customer support."
Okay.
But if you look very carefully, he does not dial it with his fingers. He goes through this contact list and brings up 611. Right. So he brings up an entry where the name of the entry is 611, and the phone number is the Sprint's phone number.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's the way they cheat on those.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway, so I have a serious app, TweetStack, because there's a couple of Twitter applications that I like now for the iPhone.
Tweety is mine.
No, but it's not. See, the problem with Tweety and Twitter Font and all those is they still make you look at all of your people. You still get a list of all your friends.
You can't filter it out in Tweety.
Right, whereas there's a couple of iPhone apps now. There's TweetStack, and I forgot the name of the other one that just came out a day or so ago, where you can build filters and look at different lists based on who you want to see right now.
Okay.
Yeah, the TweetStack, it's a little bit buggy. They fixed most of the bugs very recently, but I will warn you, it's slightly buggy right now still.
Okay.
But you can have a whole bunch of stacks down at the bottom. And each stack can either be all your friends or it can be location-based. Or I have a stack called San Francisco for just people who are nearby.
Okay.
That Twitter knows where they are. You can have a stack for your direct messages, a stack for your public messages to you. Stack for different filters, groups of people. So that basically allows you to follow anyone you want as out of courtesy, but then totally ignore them by just not putting them in any stack you actually pay attention to and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's pretty cool.
Anyway, so I like that one.
Yeah, that doesn't exist for the BlackBerry yet, although there's a couple of Twitter applications that are there.
Okay.
Mostly there's apps for the BlackBerry that let you take photos and upload them.
You can do that.
Through different Twitter services.
Actually, TweetStack. Yeah, TweetStack will do that, actually. Yeah,
okay.
TweetStack will let you Twitter.
But there's talk about, now that the App Store is around, there's talk about it spurring more development of the BlackBerry to follow more of the apps that are available for, like, the iPhone and things like that. So,
but until you get fart apps, you can't prove that. You know, you're just talking until you get a fart app.
Yeah, you're right.
Until you get your first 50 fart apps, I'd say you're just talking.
Yeah. Didn't you think there was going to be some kind of a throw-up genre?
There is. There's some. Yeah, there's some.
Well, so we're running out of time. We're over a little bit.
Okay.
In fact, 3 minutes over.
Okay.
So I think we're done.
Okay.
All right. So thanks, Bess, for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
We have two things we need to do before we close the show. Rate the restaurant.
Right.
And they're closing. But so
did we ever talk about that we're in Bose? Yeah, we talked about that, right?
Yeah, we're at Bose, okay. So what do you think today?
Their barbecue is good. It doesn't really taste like it's necessarily real charcoal broiled.
Okay.
I've never really been sure
Al
about
would
that.
Not be happy. He'd want to see this.
He'd want to see the kitchen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. But otherwise, it's good.
I was satisfied. The links were pretty good today.
They still have the sign, by the way, that no chickens on the combos.
Oh.
Although that doesn't make any sense. But
that's weird. What do you think?
I liked it. Some pieces were overcooked, but I wonder if that was a specialty, because I still like those even more.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if they were overcooked, if they were their specialty. But overall, I like
that's
it.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Where did you order? I forget.
Beef.
The brisket.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I had the combination of brisket and links.
Okay.
The links aren't that hot, really.
So based on what happened today in the show, what do you want to call it?
Oh, any suggestions for a name? So something that would actually be a marketable name and yet funny and stupid all at the same time.
Shake the Swine. No?
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk much about the
swine. No, we didn't get a chance.
Well, we did talk about the swine symptom.
A little bit,
that he has, but...
What?
When I go home, I'm going to have a glass of swine.
Okay.
Right, that was stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
drink your swine? No.
Shake the custom URL from swine.
Shake the baby? shake the baby? Shake the chimp?
Shake the chimp? Choke the monkey?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, if we could use four-letter words.
Do they don't have any choke the baby apps, do they?
How about saying... No?
Can we write that?
Lick factor, what about asterisk, dot, sign, dot, you know, whatever factor? You know, like, swear words are usually like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you talking about? Did we ever talk about lickaholics.com?
No.
Okay. No, I sent it for a beta test of this thing that it's kind of a social network, but based on your hobbies and things that you like.
Oh, God. People with foot fetishes, stuff like that?
Yeah, right. God. So you just put in whatever you like, and then you meet up with other people. The problem is that the URL is L-I-K-A-H-O-L-I-S.
It says like, it's lick.
It's lickaholics.
Lickaholics.
Which sounds like it's people addicted to licking. To me, it's just
oral,
a ridiculous name.
Oral fixation.
I know, it's just a ridiculous name. But anyway.
I want to go to one of their meetings. Yeah.
Well, join Lickaholics and you can say that that's what you like. But anyway. Anyway, we're supposed to be just choosing a title. We shouldn't be thinking the show longer.
We can't.
How long does it have? Can it be lick?
You don't care.
Lick Steve and chimp the swine? I don't know.
Chimp the swine.
No, but it should be for a proper headline. It should have salesy words. The first six words should be very compelling and salesy.
It's got to kind of describe. It's got to. Well, what Lisa, who also listens to the show, she said she got a kick out of the BlackBerry versus iPhone.
Right.
So it's kind of like something that would draw somebody's attention to the show.
Yeah.
Like
and a proper headline on the internet should the first six words. Should
we could
be
just say something like the solution to the swine virus.
Yeah,
the swine flu solution.
The iPhone solution.
iPhone solves the swine flu.
Yeah. That would be good.
HTC kicks iPhone and BlackBerry's ass.
What?
It did not.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. That teeter. That program. Yeah. That was cool.
Exactly. Well, we can come up with it later.
Okay, we'll figure it out later. Okay. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Don't forget www.slurpcast.com.
Right.
Come to the show, listen to the show from there. Click on the links and participate in the blog.
Right.
We hardly have any participation in the blog.
Right.
So. Are you going to give something away, Mark?
No.
You should.
You should give your iPhone away.
You should give
it away. Free iPhone. Don't wait for
Mark Rene gives his iPhone away.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about a song. We don't have it ready yet. Yeah, we were talking about a song. Yeah, but we don't have it ready yet.
All right. Well, so thanks, everybody. Okay. Bye.